May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated. In the earlier part of this gospel lesson, it mentions that the demon was dumb. Dumb does not mean without mental capacity. What dumb means here, if we look at another passage about a person being deaf and dumb, means that he was unable to hear nor be able to speak. So the dumb part actually means that he was unable to speak. And that's what startled everyone when he was able to start speaking. And then they said, well, he speaks from through the devil Beelzebub, which in their view was the chief of all demons. If you look at scholarly works and the actually rankings of demons, there are actually three chief demons. And, you know, if you're taking notes, Leviathan is one of them, Beelzebub, the one mentioned in the scripture here, and the other is Lucifer, who we often call Satan. So this is my annual trek in a homily sermon into demons. And hopefully it doesn't scare anybody, because they're not anything really to be scared of. Today's gospel passage is also found in the Gospels of St. Matthew chapter 12, as well as Mark chapter 3. Now what it does, it cautions us about a house being divided. It actually reminds me of Charles Dickens' classic novel depicting the French Revolution and his great work called A Tale of Two Cities. The story is set in London and Paris in 1775 and describes the vast divide between the aristocrats and revolutionaries, or the rich and the poor. It represents the age-old story pitting the wealthy against the impoverished. The 19th century experienced this yet again in contrast of industrialists versus common labor, or landed gentry versus slave labor. It seems every generation has to repeat the same mistakes. The recent hit movie Hunger Games depicts this same conflict between rich and poor, but the setting in it is in a future time period, much like George Orwell's 1984. This conflict is not limited to the rich and poor. We see several levels of conflicts. The Pharisees were conflicted between the law and grace. We have seen theological conflicts over things such as predestination versus free will, in addition to the debate in baptism over being sprinkled or immersed. And Robert Louis Stevenson's The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, we read about his conflict between good and evil. Dr. Jekyll developed a potion he believed would separate his two natures. However, this potion transformed him into essentially seven deadly spirits. It transformed him into the evil spirit, where he was hoping it would transfer him into the good spirit. When that potion wore off, his guilt led him to perform good works to compensate for all the harm he had committed to other people. In the end, his egotism, his self-absorption, and disregard for others finally overtook him. In praising himself for all his good works, he realized that his natures had become intertwined, and he ultimately became the evil Mr. Hyde. In essence, he found that he was unable to hide from Mr. Hyde. Ironically, we are experiencing a similar episode in our day and age with respect to the haves and have-nots, where in the 1930s, Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal attempted to level the playing field between the rich and poor, and was largely successful for the first 50 years. Yet over the last 5 years, the gap between the rich and poor has expanded, and the most recent report is that the gap is now the widest in the last half century. What hits a chord with this story is that Christ addressed these same contrasts in his lifetime. The story of the rich and poor continues to repeat itself and validates the evidence that human nature is true to a fault. I suspect this is evident since man is a victim of temptations that are often too difficult to overcome. This contrast gives us the foundation of the Lenten season that depends on us ridding ourselves through fasting and prayer of our selfish natures that lead us to do wrongful acts against ourselves, our neighbors, and against God. Therefore, the first three Sundays in Lent gives us gospel lessons concerning demons and demon possessions. Go back and look at the record. While the fourth Sunday, next Sunday, discusses the feeding of the 5,000. So three quarters of the Lenten gospels are attributed or discussing demons and demon possessions. This emphasis on these three lessons addressing demonic activity shows us that they are real and the importance for us to understand and defeat them. That's why we're having this lesson today. In an overview of the liturgical year, I find it incredibly wise that our founding fathers saw the necessity for all Christians to conduct an annual cleansing as a reminder of how corrupt we become over the course of a year. That this occurs before Easter is reason why we get the term spring cleaning. And yesterday we were doing some spring cleaning on the outside, and today we're working on some spring cleaning on the inside, not just in this building, but hopefully in ourselves. Logic dictates that we ask, why is there so much evil in the world when we have all been cleansed? The answer is that, quite frankly, we're not all Christians, as many claim to be. And today's lesson addresses this when Christ tells us, he that is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. What Christ means by scattering is that there are those who remain neutral. Christ tells us that we are either for him or against him. There is no neutrality with Christ. In fact, many people believe that if they are not decidedly against Christ, then they are somehow for him. Nothing could be further from the truth. Christ tells us in a later revelation, in fact, Revelation 3, he says, "So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, because you say that, you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." These powerful words spoken by Christ should wake many up who are blind to their faith and fail to practice it every day. We wonder why we do wrongful acts against ourselves, others, and God, and why during Lent we need to once a year look at demon spirits. Indeed, demon spirits are the source of our temptations and many of our wrongs. So as we examine these verses, we recall the story of a demon-possessed man who was made clean but fell wayside, so the demon spirit returned with seven other deadly spirits. The number seven here represents a completedness, so that this man was utterly possessed with every type of wickedness. Therefore, scholars have determined that there are indeed seven deadly sins in which demons cause us to fall victim. In 1589, a German theologian named Peter Benchfield, who was also a Roman Catholic bishop, classified demons into seven categories. Bishop Benchfield was this noted German theologian and wrote a treatise entitled Of the Confessions of Warlocks and Witches. In it, he listed these seven demons and their sins. And I'll give them to you now. Lucifer, pride. Mammon, greed. Asmodeus, lust. Leviathan, envy. Beelzebub, gluttony. Ammon, or Satan, wrath. Beelphazor, sloth. So the sins of pride, greed, lust, envy, gluttony, wrath, and laziness are those we hope to cleanse. In today's lesson, Christ says, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against itself falleth. This message is underscored in St. Luke chapter 13, where Christ tells us, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. A house divided applies to everyone and everything, including homes, churches, and individuals. In verse 18, we read Christ say that even Satan's kingdom itself will fall if it were divided against itself. We then are either totally committed to God or we are not. There is no gray area or wiggle room. In many ways, Matthew 10 addresses this discussion. In these verses, Jesus says in part, you will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of the household, which goes back to the old wives' tale that our mothers and fathers taught us growing up, birds of a feather flock together. So do not be afraid of these demon spirits, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will also disown before my Father in heaven. So whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. We should be careful who we hang around with and not fall victim to the crowd mentality. We are called to be vigilant and remain in prayer and fasting. We are to live in this world as a beacon of light and hope to all who are lost, and we are to be a part of this world, but not of it, as the parable of the wheat and tares tells us. Then how must we as Christians behave? First, we cannot cling to the things of this world. We must cling to the promises of God. We are designed to be connected to God, and if we're not, then something in this world will eventually become our God. Our choice is to take our cross and follow Him. Time and again we read stories of false promises, emptiness, and disappointment people find at the end of the world's rainbow. And I just read about that in the paper this week. This lady that grew up in Utah became a famous model, became a famous designer, had friends of the wealthy and famous. And yet, in all this success, this worldly success, there was tremendous despair. And unfortunately, she took her life. The world offers worldly gifts, but God offers heavenly gifts. The world's gifts will rust and decay. Heavenly gifts will neither rust nor decay. The world offers broken hearts, but God offers sacred hearts. It is our choice to make. Cleanse your hearts, minds, and spirit in this season of Lent by ridding yourselves of pride, greed, lust, envy, gluttony, wrath, and sloth. Then receive the gifts of love, peace, joy, and happiness which God has in store for us all. Thus saith the Lord, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.